What is going on? Welcome back to Any Given Sunday. I'm your host, Hendo, here with my co-host, Rodney. How you doing today, Brian?
I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Listen, this has been the week of giving. And before we get started, I want to thank my friends. Shout out to them for being awesome and supporting me. First and foremost, shout out to Suge Knight.
Yes.
Suge Knight got us custom made license plates.
I didn't take mine out of the way. There we go.
Got the birth year, got the name, got the team on it.
Thank you, Suge.
Appreciate that, Suge. He has a homeboy that does it. And I think he said you can get a discount if you actually try to get one, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that maybe the discount was for us, and then we would make a profit on that. You know, whatever. It's all right, though. No, if you are interested, just let us know. I forget how much he said they were, but
I think he said it was like 28 without the discount, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. We'll go back and check. But also today, you know, more importantly, I got to meet up with Jose. Me and Jose met up, and I got my long overdue trophy.
Long overdue, he said.
You know, over here in Titletown, you know, you know, we get certain things. Shout out to Lunch Break Hot Take for my Pick'ems League Championship.
Whatever.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. Couldn't have done it without you and all the poor picks of you and your fan base. Moving on. Let's see who we got up in here today.
You got any trophies for actually winning the league? Or
yeah, where's my belt? I haven't brought out my belt in a long time. You talking about the rings?
Those are for pick'ems too.
Okay.
I was wondering if you were actually
my league, my league championship
and win games.
Yeah, I can bring up my belt again.
Maybe the one that you bought yourself before you told anybody that was a prize and nobody was taking seriously. Is that what you mean?
Oh, they weren't taking the league seriously.
Is that the one you were referring to?
And I put out the list asking, what do you guys want?
Yeah, and you only asked Ferris, and then Ferris.
I put it in a public post.
And yeah.
Listen, everybody. Hate is going to hate.
Damn me.
Anywho, what's going on, MDG Sports? Thank you for joining us. We got D Weezy in the house, Killer Cam. Hola, hola. Mucho gusto, Brady. Oz is in the house. What's going on? Welcome to the Patreon. Glad you finally signed up for the Discord. Appreciate you. Jerry Bears is in the house. We got Danity. Danity, I sent you a message on Twitter. I don't know why you just ignore me. I don't really know. I sent you a message.
Danity don't care about us.
She really don't. What's going on, DDS?
Danity like that power.
She like that power, don't she? My baby girl, my firstborn. What's up, Jasmine? My girl, Jazzy. How you doing tonight? We got Yay Rock in the house. What's going on? All right, let's get this started because I am under the weather and we're not going to be here for very long. So as you can see by the title, it states that the Baltimore Ravens are building something elite. And with the moves that were made last week, as we enter the third week of free agency, an article came out about the Ravens and the moves that they were making. Now, some of us feel like the Ravens are not doing enough. Some people feel like we're on par with what we have done in the past. Some people said, wait, just see what EDC has up his sleeve. For me, we can only judge. I'm not even going to ask. For me, we can only judge what the Ravens have done so far in free agency. We can't speculate on any moves that might be made.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I was
reading Danny's response. Where is it? Did you? I haven't been on. Wow,
I'm sorry. I forgot
in your months. And then I do care, but I'll check later this week.
What's going on, Marcus Bay? Todd Jabot. Wow, he said I got Lamar Jackson immune system. Oh. Wow, damn. What's up, Jose? My man, cousin Dave Ball's in the house. Yeah, that ain't right. I don't. It was actually something I ate, and I think, and the irony is, it was the salad that I ate that I think
mushroom protein catching up with you.
No, I actually ate a salad, and then after I ate the salad, I was online, and there was an article about Dole products, especially the fruits.
Oh, so this is all in your head, is what you're saying. You read something online and it suggested to you that maybe you ate something.
Oh man,
I feel bad.
There was a recall. Me running to the bathroom constantly, that wasn't in my head. That wasn't made up. But anywho, we're going to talk, Rodney.
Matter, my friend.
If you don't mind, it don't matter. We're going to talk about this elite unit that the Baltimore Ravens are building. And once again, there has been an article put out, and I think with the moves that are being made, the Ravens are trying to build an elite unit. Over the past several years, this unit has gone downhill consistently. And being that our head coach is supposed to be a special kind of guy, I don't understand why a special teams unit can't be elite. So the article came out was speculating that the Ravens are building an elite special teams unit with all with all of the signings that they have made. Now, to me, once again, we can only speak about what has been done up until now. We can't go into what the Ravens might do this week, what the Ravens might do in the draft. We can only talk about what has happened so far. And apparently, Eric DaCosta's moves has scared Rodney away. I don't know. Scared him away. What's going on, Lenny? Appreciate you for dropping by. He says, so far it's been a C-plus offseason. I'll give it that.
My bad.
I thought EDC scared you off. Tarja said, EDC needs to make more moves than they have. I want to see something this week.
Unlike most of Ravens' block, I'm not scared of EDC or his people, all right?
We got Ravens talk with Yolanda in the house. Excuse me. Good evening. Appreciate you for coming by.
Why are you not on the show, Yolanda?
Yes, Danity. Special teams. Special team. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm laid up sick and just stuff coming everywhere. And nobody checked up. Nobody checked up on me to see if I was okay. I was. I was down bad.
Wasn't you out this morning?
Your boy was down bad because I had to get you your katana blade.
I still don't have it, but wasn't you out this morning? When were you laid up exactly?
All day yesterday.
Wow.
That's right. What's going on? Yes. How come whenever the Ravens get someone, I don't even recognize the name?
You recognize Chris Bourne? He used to play for y'all.
They still don't recognize him. But let's jump into first topic. We're going to talk about the free agent news and the needle movers. Baltimore Ravens have made several moves this week when it comes to free agency. To me, I don't think that they're very impactful. I know that the Flock or the Purple Patrol or whatever you want to call them, they want to make so much of this one move, and I'm not understanding it. I don't understand why everybody's up in arms saying that the re-signing of Arthur Millette is a needle mover. Like, he came in, he played in 14 games, started three, had a interception, 2 sacks, 5 passes defended, and 37 tackles. But to me, he was just an okay piece. But Ravens flock is trying to make it seem like, man, we had to get him. He's a dog. The last memory I have of Arthur Millette is letting MVS beat him for a first down in the AFC Championship. Now, everybody gets beat. I get that. But he doesn't cover that well. And that's why he's been on like 4 or 5 teams throughout his 8-year career.
Arthur Miller is fine. He was fine for Baltimore, but you can't be a needle mover if you were already on the team. Where are you going to move the needle? Like, you were already there contributing to where the needle is now.
I mean, he could have left.
Yeah, but I'm saying bringing him back doesn't move the needle anywhere. But, you know, the only needle-moving signing that they made was Derrick Henry. And that's not even a regular season impact. Because they're already the top rushing team in the league, or, you know, one of the top rushing teams in history. So I don't think he makes any impact there. The impact of Derrick Henry, sadly, I think is just going to be his name and reputation, where in the playoffs, maybe John Harbaugh doesn't forget who his running back is.
I mean, that was the hope. That's what we had hope. We had hope with somebody with name value being on a team. Once the Ravens got to the playoffs, they would not do the same things that they've done in the past, because last season wasn't the first time that they've done this.
Yeah.
They would have some explaining to do. They'd have this to answer to some people, but I still do believe, even with Derrick Henry there, they're going to do what they want to do. And he may not get 3 carries. He may not get 6 carries. He might get 9, maybe 10. even though there is a statistic, even with John Harbaugh being an analytics fan, that he is 0-31 when the Ravens rush under 20 attempts.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of statistic is more, it's not like a causation thing. It's because, yeah, you run less when you're getting beat. Now, right. It is alarming that you literally can't win throwing the ball, but I mean, it's not like a, hey, we hit 20 rushes, we win kind of thing, you know? So,
sure.
It's all right. They might want to get one of these wide receivers, though.
But I guess normally when you're rushing 20 plus times per game, the game's really close or you have a lead.
Yeah.
I guess that's right.
That's what I mean. It's more, yeah, it's correlation. You know, you run a lot because you're winning. Right. And so you tend to win those games. You don't run at all because you're losing. And if you're John Harbaugh, you always lose those games.
Touche, Brodney. Touche. All right. This next signing. This is a signing that Brodney absolutely loved. As soon as it happened, Brodney hit me up in the Discord and was like, bruh, needle mover.
No.
The Baltimore Ravens signed Josh Jones to a 1-year deal. Now, once again, I understand the optimism that goes with signing players and hoping they can be better than what they seem to be on paper. The thing that upsets me, and we talked about this, Brodney, is the articles that are coming out about Jones saying how good of a player he was in 2022. They didn't mention anything about 2023.
Or 2021 or 2020.
Well, 2020. They cherry picked 1 year to say, oh my God, he was, you know, this is what you want to see in a left tackle in 2022. Well, no, I want to see something in 2024. I don't want to see something from then. And then last season he went and played with the Houston Texans, played against the Ravens and looked pretty bad and got benched.
Yeah, and you know, it's just a case of your fan base kind of overhyping signings. And I get that in Baltimore because you're not really doing much. You know, Derrick Henry is the one big signing that you made. But this isn't any different than like Carolina signing Josh Nijman from Green Bay, who's been in the league for 3 or 4 years. He started 1 year, was okay, wasn't really great, and then lost his starting job this past year and then was let go, essentially. Right. And you know, like, yeah, signing Josh Jones is fine. He's a young guy. He's got experience, a lot of starting experience. You need players like that on the O-line. I mean, you need players like that across the roster, but particularly on the O-line. And I do applaud DaCosta because this is one of the few times that I've ever seen him actually address the depth at tackle. Typically, they just go into the season saying, F it, I don't care if we have a backup tackle or not. And they usually don't. So now they do. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you still need 3 starters on the offensive line.
But here's the thing, though. I don't think that Jones is coming in to be a starter, personally, because from what I'm hearing, they're lauding him as being that Swiss Army knife that can play every position outside of center. And that got me to thinking about, well, what about Pat McCary? I thought that was Pat McCary's job to be that guy that goes up and down the line. And I think the thing that kind of frustrates me the most is the fact that you're giving McCary starter type money, but you never want to make him start. Like, that to me, it just boggles my mind. You're paying him on average over five mil a year, but yet and still you don't want him to start.
Well, that's not starter money.
That's what your boy Morgan Moses got.
Well, yeah, Morgan Moses ain't really a starter, is he? You know, like, when you're talking about good starters, you're talking north of 10 million. And I think Patrick McCary is very valuable for the, you know, even for what he's making. He gets a lot of he has a lot of versatility, and you can, like you've been saying, you can put him in it pretty much anywhere, right? And Josh Jones, you know, we'll see if he is that same type of valuable in terms of being the depth player. I think he's probably just worse than McCary, but you know, you have to have those kind of guys backing up your starters. But again, the problem is you don't have starters. So, I mean, you know, there's still some guys out there.
There are.
You know, but everybody who's still out there is essentially out there for a reason. You know, they all come with some some sort of issue at this point. But they've really got to get on it. They can't, they cannot think that they're going to go into the draft and find multiple starters on the O-line. Jones, I mean, who would trade for Fa'aliu'a?
Don't nobody want him.
I guess you could trade him, but you're not going
to get him. Yeah, with development, he may be fine, but...
You probably can't trade. Like, teams don't really like trading. Because, like, you know, Carolina tried to trade Terrace Marshall, right?
Who?
Nobody want that dude.
Who?
You know? I mean, Dante Jackson was a starter for multiple years and was good, and they got basically nothing for him, right? To L.A. for a seventh.
And a bag of Fritos.
which L.A., though?
Because
one of them L.A. teams is like, F them draft picks.
This is facts. Yeah.
But you can't be saying that about, you don't have enough offensive linemen.
We don't. So this next signing made even more sense to me. You know, we went out and signed Josh Jones. We re-signed Arthur Millett. And then the Ravens this week decided, hey, we're going all in. And Kadarius Holman, he's agreed on a one-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Holman has been in the league for 4 years, and he has played for two teams. He spent 2 years in Green Bay, and he spent 1 year with Houston. In total for his career, he has 20 tackles, 3 passes defended, and a forced fumble.
Correct. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. This is the first time I've heard his name. I do not know who that is. I saw in our Discord somebody said, oh, the Ravens signed Kadarius Holman, and I was like, that's made up. Like, you're making jokes about Eric DaCosta right now. And, you know, I find it funny. But most people aren't going to appreciate that. But, yeah.
You created a player on Madden and just threw it out there. Right. And everybody was like, oh, yeah.
Hit that damn randomizer. And
that's what it seems.
Yeah. I don't know who that is.
I don't either. But once again, I do believe that this is another one of those deals made for special teams depth. I think that they're trying to build up that elite special teams unit and make sure that they get back to the top half of the league in special teams, because they have let us down in some games. I'm not going to lie, but I would think that the offense would be a little bit more important than building up your special teams.
I've got to hand it to Baltimore and John Harbaugh. The single-mindedness is impressive, because they said, hey, we've played the Chargers, the Titans a couple times, the Bills, the Bengals, the Chiefs, and Houston in the playoffs. What's been the common theme throughout? And Houston's an outlier. They got themselves together against Houston, but outside of that, what's been the common theme? And John's like, defense. And I'm like, no, but the defense was fine. Special teams. No, special teams was fine. He's like, well, there's only two phases of the game. Okay, so I don't know what you're asking me right now. they absolutely refuse to acknowledge that offense has been the issue and that they need to fix their offense.
Even though we can't score in the postseason, we refuse to do anything about it. And it's amazing how it's always an excuse of, this ain't Madden. Just wait to see what he's going to do. And I understand the optimism. You want to believe, you want to think that your team is going to get better and they're going to make the moves that are going to get us over the hump. But if you just look back at history, we do the same thing every year. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. We get to the playoffs, no matter if we're the number one seed or the number two seed or number three seed or whatever. We get to the playoffs and we crap the bed, all because offensively we couldn't score points. And during that game to the end of it, Ravens fans are like, yo, we need to get Lamar some help. Mm-hmm. And they say that from that week till the next week, until draft talk comes up. Then when draft talk comes up, it's get me that corner.
It's like, there's a dude named Kool-Aid.
We got to get him. Yeah. We got, or we need an edge.
I saw your boy Daniel Jeremiah in his last mock draft gave Baltimore Cooper DeJean, the last white cornerback.
I saw that. And I'm like, interesting.
Yeah. And you know, from what I've seen and what I've heard, he's a very good player.
Right.
So I'm just like, for what? Why? What's he gonna What's he gonna do on a team that was giving up like 17 points a game?
Helped them give up 15 points.
That brought back all of their secondary.
Thank you, Daniel. Jason Sehorn. I was sitting here thinking the same thing. I'm like Jason Sehorn all over again.
No, I think he can play.
Oh, I'm not. Jason Sehorn could play at a point in time until he got with Angie Harmon, and that just that
he could play for like a year or two, and then people was just like, "Boy, Sehorn."
Well, sit yourself down. But yeah, you know, it's just that the Ravens are they seem to be prioritizing things that aren't helping us because every year we go more defense, and we get to the playoffs and we're still not giving up points.
D-backs, why not get Kool-Aid? Because you don't need any more help on defense is why.
So let's see. Wait a minute. You have Marlowe. You have Brandon Stevens. You just re-signed Maulette. You just signed Holland. You have Pepe. You have Jalen Armour Davis. Why are we going after another corner?
Marcus Williams.
Kyle Hamilton, Marcus Williams. Ardarius Washington. We have all these people in the secondary, but yet and still, we don't have offensive linemen. But yet and still, we need to go in the first round and get another cornerback when we already have six of them. I'm not understanding. But there is one free agent that the Ravens do. I do think defensively the Ravens may need to bring back. And that is Jadeveon Clowney. But it seems like the New York Jets, who are highly motivated, really want him to come up to New York because we, as we know, they are the Baltimore Ravens North. They take all the former Baltimore Ravens. No,
they have players on offense.
And they are. They may be trying to sign more.
Yeah.
They just signed Mike Williams.
They did sign more already. Yeah, yeah, they've got Garrett Wilson, and they said, you know what? We need more than one wide receiver. Let's sign Mike Williams. Yeah, they've got Breece Hall already. He was crying about his offensive line, so they
revamped the whole thing. Right. Yeah. And they took two-fifths of the Ravens' starting offensive line. I'm not understanding that. But – yeah. I mean, listen, these are the players that these highly coveted draft picks Eric DaCosta wants to keep. And that's why we always say, forget them draft picks, because you keep drafting players that aren't playing, then turn around a free agency and have to replace them immediately. So what is the point of drafting these guys when you got to go sign free agents to go get them? Trade them for somebody that you know can play.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. So, in, I guess, response to all the moves being made around the AFC North and the New York Jets signing, the Ravens decided that they were going to make some moves of their own, trying to get better offensively. I don't know. Apparently, this was the week for campus visits at the Castle, and high school prospects were supposed to come in, do their scouting, and decide which college they were going to go to, because for some reason, EDC is getting praised for bringing in people and having them toward the facilities. Like, I don't understand that. You get props for having somebody come for a visit. Yes, I would like a free flight to another city and get some free food and get wine and dine for a day. Of course I would. Am I going to sign with you? Maybe not, but I'll take the free stuff.
D-Banks, no, you can't make that same argument for the O-line. Real quick, in the next thing that you type, go ahead and list your starters at corner and then list your starters on the offensive line for me. And tell me it's the same thing. And if you can't do that, then stop talking.
So the Baltimore Ravens and Eric DaCosta decided to bring in Michael Gallup for a visit. Whoopee! Yay! And the flock cheered, hooray! We're bringing in this guy, and he's better than something. And some guy, I don't know if he was arguing with me, but he made a statement on one of my videos where the guy said, we don't need to bring in a wide receiver. We just need to bring in a guy to fill a roster spot. And I said, okay.
You really, the Ravens agree with him.
They did, but why didn't he sign the contract then?
Well, you know, they brought in another guy.
They did bring in another guy. Ronnie Hands of Stone Garvin. I mean, Josh Reynolds.
Why you do Josh like that?
I'm sorry, because you know, the last memories that I have of Josh Reynolds is dropping those two passes against the 49ers. Like, literally, in a pressure situation where you could have possibly, with the game tied, helped your team go down to get to the Super Bowl, you had some perfectly thrown passes, and you just fumble. And I mean all wide receivers do that. They do. But we have enough problems with wide receivers dropping balls in Baltimore. So,
yeah. Yeah, neither one of those signings, Josh Reynolds is fine. He's an okay player. You know, Michael Gallup is an okay guy. But neither one of those signings really, I think, makes much difference for the Ravens at all. They need a number one or number two receiver, and that's not who Michael Gallup and Josh Reynolds are.
Right. And no, he's not bad. He's not all of a sudden bad now, Jeremy. He was never really good to begin with.
Yeah.
When was he good? But we're not trying to downgrade. We're trying to build something. Any team can go out and get a bunch of mid-wide receivers that have been discarded by other teams. We need difference makers. Especially if you're not going to address the offensive line, you need to get playmakers out there that Lamar can just drop back 1-2-3 and get the ball out to these guys because he knows they're going to be open and he knows that they're going to catch them. We don't need a bunch of Nelson Aguilars on this team. Yes, we have Zay Flowers.
It's so rude that you would call out Nelson Aguilar when Nelson Aguilar showed up and made plays for you. Why wasn't that Rashad Bateman? Why wasn't that Tylan Wallace that came out of your mouth just now? Why it got to be Nelson? Why are you piling on?
I take that back. I apologize. I take that back. That wasn't Tylan Wallace out there. He wasn't out there Wallacing. Does that make it any better? He wasn't out there Wallacing, like getting paid to steal money. I mean, right. And this is the point that we're trying to make, Jeremy. He's not a number one guy, nor is he a number two guy, to be quite honest with you. So why do we want to bring him in here and get a collection of number probably threes and number fours? Three. He might not be a number three. But why would we want a collection of threes and twos, threes and fours? We need that dominant guy. We need that guy that Lamar can grow with. And I give him some credit. They got that in Zay Flowers, a wide receiver that Lamar can grow with. But get him somebody else. Why do we always have to stop at one, except for when it comes to defensively? Because I'm hearing y'all out there talking about we need to go get Xavier Howard. We need to go get one of these high-profile cornerbacks. But we have high-profile cornerbacks, but I guess Ozzie coined that phrase, you can never have enough cornerbacks. And we believed them. So now we try to collect all the cornerbacks that we can.
Like, no matter what you do, that number is never going to get to zero on points allowed. It's just not. Like, you could get the best player at every position on your defense, and you're not going to give up 0 points a game. You got to stop chasing it. Score some points, though. Thanks. Because you are in danger of that number getting to zero one day.
We did score 3 points against Buffalo. We came yay close to being shut out. But moving on to the next topic, and then we already touched on this a little bit. Have the Ravens done enough of the O-line? There are 3 spots open for grabs.
those are two hilarious lines to have right next to each other. 3 spots up for grabs. Have we done enough? There's 3 spots up for grabs, and 1 spot isn't open because we paid this guy too much. But we do not believe in him playing.
This is true. This is true. And we've done an injustice. Listen, I'm not here to bash Andrew Voorhees, because he may turn out to be an excellent guard in this league. He may. Ben Cleveland, he may do like prior draft picks, and in year 4, turn it around and be that player that we drafted him to be. I think the only problem that we really have is, why take that chance? Why are we out here playing with Lamar like that? Like, they may turn out to be all pros in a couple of seasons. They may be, but we don't know. Why not get something that's more of a sure thing? Not saying that anybody that you bring in here is going to pan out, but I feel more likely that somebody who's been doing it at a decent level for years is going to play a lot better than a guy who's never played in the NFL. I was going to put a picture of Andrew Voorhees up here, but I couldn't find one of him standing in a Ravens uniform. I'm sorry, and I'm not even lying. I was looking for pictures of him. There was none of him in a Ravens uniform. So you're telling me a guy that I haven't seen in uniform is going to come in here and block for Lamar. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but the Ravens have a first-place schedule. The Ravens have a first-place schedule next season. So things are going to be a little bit tougher than they were. So I don't know what people are starting to expect, but shout out to Anonymous for the dollar donation. He said they're trying to build the wide receiver core like Brooklyn Nets roster, full of role players that would be third options on any other team. And that is correct. We're bringing in a bunch of role players, hoping that they can come in and be more than what they are. And I think the frustrating part for a lot of us is, okay, just call a spade a spade. I think that's the only thing that we want. You sign Jones, you sign Holman. They're average players. They're players that couldn't make it on lesser rosters. Let's just call a spade a spade. All right, we brought some guys in for some depth, and we hope that they can be better. Stop saying that everybody the Ravens are going to bring in is going to come in and turn this team around, because so far, a lot of them have not.
Yeah. You know, and this, it's eerily familiar to what they did with the wide receiver group a couple of years ago, where they said, hey, we got young guys, let's let them play. We like our young guys. And it turned out that all your young guys were trash.
So you hope to trade the first round to get two more second rounders. You guys aren't getting the lineman y'all want. I just want a lineman that's effective. I don't have anybody in mind. I just hope they get somebody that can play. But also to expect a bunch of rookies, a second-year player that's considered a rookie, and a fourth-year player that doesn't come to camp condition, to expect them to come in here and just be effective, like, that's crazy. But for you to wish that on your own team, that's even crazier.
And listen, you're not talking to people who said, wait until the draft to fix your goddamn O-line. What do you think you're going to do if you can't get the O-line you want at 30? What are you going to do with them 2 second-round picks you get for trading that pick? How are you going to fix your O-line, Banks? How? We said, Justin Madubuike, go out there and sign some offensive linemen immediately. They didn't do that. Those guys are gone now. So now you have to look at the draft. You have to go and get some people who can play in the draft. Mm-hmm. But you're saying trade that pick, get a couple more, a couple picks later, much later in the draft, and see if you can find somebody there.
And that second round might be for the following season.
Yeah.
More than likely so. I'm not getting it. But, yeah, so in my opinion,
draft a backup at corner and F. Lamar. Let him run.
Right. Draft somebody that's not going to get on the field, but so much. He's going to play nickel. Might as well draft another safety. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is not, and I will say this, Cam, it's not an EDC thing. The Ravens just, in general, just have struggled with second-round picks, even with Ozzy. Three second-round picks, that sounds like a... Let me ask you this question, Banks. all seriousness, who in the second round and beyond has EDC drafted that actually came in here and made a difference? Not been a decent player, but actually made a difference on his team. We had 11 picks 1 year. And what did we get out of that draft? Not much.
I mean, I can tell you the only they usually don't even have second round picks. The only decent player they drafted in the second round was J.K. Dobbins, and he didn't make a difference because he got hurt all the time.
True.
Outside of that, they trade their second round picks.
Right. I mean, you say Stone for a year. Yeah, Stone was a 7th round pick, and they cut him twice. So we got lucky to get him back twice. And apparently he got coached up by another team. That's why he came back and played so well. I don't know. All right, moving on. Next up, we have Help Wanted, the Baltimore Ravens. Is there anybody left, Brody, in free agency and in the chat that you feel like is worthy of signing right now? I know that the list just keeps growing smaller and smaller every week. Teams are filling out their roster, and the Ravens are doing what they normally do, especially because they want to make sure that they get these comp picks. And I think that they've already reached the max level for comp picks. So you can start signing players now. Because I think you're over so much that if you start getting players, you're still going to be at the max and you'll get these extra round picks to do absolutely nothing with. So do you feel like there's anyone out there that's still worthy of the Ravens signing?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Tyler Boyd is a pretty decent receiver. Dalton Risner is a decent offensive lineman. I mean, there's some guys out there that you can go and sign who will come in and play well enough for you. I don't think there's anybody in free agency right now who is going to, like we mentioned before, move the needle for them. Just because, they sat back and let all those guys get signed. At this point, you're kind of looking at trades. I would be calling San Francisco for about when the late thirds, essentially, or early fourths. You're not getting much of anything. And your team doesn't really like to trade up anyway.
They don't use the comp picks. I did a video on the different comp picks.
And then cut them is what they like to do.
Facts. Kind of like Caillou Blue Kelly.
Yeah. I think they need to they need to start calling around the league. I don't know what offensive linemen would potentially be available. Teams don't typically like to trade offensive linemen.
Good ones.
Because they're hard to come by. But, Brandon Ayuk, I think, is available. You can call Cincinnati about T. Higgins. I don't think they'll engage you in that conversation. But there's guys, if you call around, you know, that you'd be able to find someone who can make a difference for you. But in free agency,
The world is at least 3 years old. At least.
Yeah, and again, what we said is they don't trade up just in general. They trade the other direction.
Bro, we had 11 picks and used all 11. All 11. Where we easily could have traded up and gotten somebody or somebody else. Eric DaCosta said, I'm making all 11 picks, even though this is a 53-man roster, and I know that they all will not make this team. I'm going to
pick draft a punter in the fourth round just because.
Just because. Just saying, what's going on? He said, but when I heard you mention them dumpster diving, I was like, I've like been saying the same thing for a while. Yeah, and this is the thing, we've gotten so lucky with some of the moves that have been made. We got lucky with Jadeveon Clowney. We got lucky with Kyle Van Noy. They were just sitting there, and no other team really believed in them, and it made EDC look like he was a genius. Like, oh, you just signed these players? So smart of a move that you waited to the exact last minute that you had to sign somebody. And Mike McDonald made a lot of these players look a lot better than they are. Now, me personally, I didn't want to give into this. I didn't want to give into this, but a lot of question was brought up. Why didn't Mike McDonald bring any of those players to Seattle? I don't know. And yes, listen, Tyler Boyd may not be a number one receiver, but he's better than anything we have after Zay Flowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can be a number two receiver. He was a 1,000-yard receiver before Jamar Chase and T. Higgins showed up.
We know Tyler Boyd very well, especially on that fourth down catch that took us out the playoffs. Like, we know him very well, and we're not asking him to come in and be a number one. He's the type of complimentary piece that you actually bring in and say, all right, you know what? We put him with Zay and get somebody at that one spot. We making moves. Michael Gallup ain't it.
Even just in the very short term, you say, you know what? He's an upgrade on Odell.
Facts. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
What?
Yeah, he was saying, when I said something about the comment, he was talking about trade that for Debo. Yes, get somebody. I don't understand why Ravens fans always think that we can get too much talent on offense. Oh, if we get too much talent, it's going to take away from him. No, it's not. If your guy that you like so much can play, I don't care who they bring in. If you bring in Justin Jefferson, Zay Flowers is still going to get his targets and his yards. There was a point in time when I'm not comparing him. Randy Moss, Jake Reed, and Chris Carter all had 1,000 yards. So don't tell me that if you bring in somebody else, your guy's not going to get his numbers. If your guy can play.
Robert Smith, I believe, on that team.
And Robert Smith had like 600 yards from the running back position. So if your guy can play, he's going to get his targets. He's going to get his yards. Stop saying that we don't need this guy. Yeah, we do. We're averaging 13.2 points per game in the playoffs. And without that Houston game, we're averaging 9 points exactly on offense. Nine points on offense, but you're telling me we need more defense. We need them. We need more guys to come in here to bring the defense's average down from 13.1 down to 12.2. And if with the Ravens scoring 9 points a game, you still lose every time. Make that make sense to me. But as for me, Connor Williams, if he can prove that he's healthy, just maybe as a backup, he was pretty good. Andrews Pete, Tyler Boyd, and of course, I've said this so many times, Dalton Risen. Mm-hmm. He's still out there. Why not go get him? He's a proven talent. Proven. So,
Risen's like, I don't even think Risen's all that great. It's just
he's better than what we got.
You need starters.
You need don't right. Have right. And then what happens? We've been extremely blessed these last few seasons. Well, the last season, as far as health is concerned, we had some here and there, but normally we have a rash of injuries. What happens if Voorhees gets hurt again? Then what are we going to do? What happens if Ben Cleveland, not used to playing the full season, what if he goes in and he gets hurt? What's going to happen then?
I know that Ravens fans don't want to hear this, but what happens if he's just not good?
Sure.
Because, again, he is a seventh-round pick.
But they said if he was truly healthy, he might have gone in the second or third round.
Yeah, that's not true. But and nobody's asking him to make chicken salad out of it. Like, we said, listen, go to the store. There's plenty of chicken. There's beef and everything available. And EDC was like, I'll go later. And then he showed up, and they were sold out.
You know, yeah, Jose. It's more likely he can't play. But you know where I heard this before? I've heard this exact same thing. Man, we got David Ajabo with a second-round pick. He was slated to go in the top 15. Mm-hmm. Where has that gotten us? Still out there looking for his replacements year in and year out.
Yeah, year y'all should not out. Be in on Jadeveon Clowney. You just should not. Like, it doesn't make any sense. You have a first round edge rusher and a second round edge rusher, and then another guy you drafted in the fourth. You should not be begging Jadeveon Clowney to come back. But here you are.
Here we are. We need more draft picks. For what? Because we're going to end up replacing him throughout the season anyway, just because he's not drafting well. Has he hit on some picks? He most definitely has. But as a whole, with all the picks that he's had collectively, why is it we constantly need the same positions every season? How is it we need a wide receiver every year?
Yeah, every year. Every GM hits on picks, every single one of them. He's struggled fixing the wide receiver room. He struggled fixing the O-line. He struggled at edge rusher. And, you know, that's one of the things, like, that's why self-scouting, you know, I always say that self-awareness is one of the best skills. You know, you have to self-scout. And if you know that you have struggled at these positions the way that you're doing it, change the way you're doing it. Don't keep drafting O-linemen in the third and fourth round.
Right.
Go out and sign somebody that you know can play. You know, at wide receiver, you know, he hit on, you know, arguably he hit on Hollywood. Hollywood's a good player, but, you know, he was the fifth best receiver in that class, even though he was the first one taken. True. So, I mean, it was an okay pick, but then you ran him out of town. You know, you, at this point, it looks like you missed on Bateman. You hit on Zay Flowers, it looks like, and you missed on everybody else. So you've hit twice at receiver.
Right.
Go and find a receiver you know can play.
He's hit once on cornerback.
Yeah, and you've hit zero times on edge rusher.
Facts.
So far.
Are we going to call O-line a hit? Because Ben Powers did have that one good season.
You know, the O-line, it's tough to say. Like, you know, Ben Powers was fine. You know, he had that good year and he went. But it wasn't a good pick for Baltimore. You got 1 year out of him. You know, you're not making picks for the Broncos.
So, I mean,
I don't know. That could be more a John Harbaugh thing than an Eric DaCosta thing. You know, if these guys can play and he's just not playing them.
Yeah, Lindebaum. I mean, we all know Lindebaum's future Hall of Famer. We don't really count him. We're talking about all the other nine picks that he had up in that offensive line that did two and duns and went to go play for the New York Giants.
D-Bank, stop doing that nonsense.
Name one
let's play here.
Oh, no.
Every single one of them who's in college right now, they all want to play in Baltimore.
No. I'm going to do like my brother does. D Banks, name one receiver that doesn't want to play in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what wide receivers don't want to play in Baltimore, because we don't know. We have no clue. And then once again, if I trade for a guy that has 3 years left on his deal, what is he going to say? Don't give me my money. I don't want to go play for Baltimore.
Right.
Like, it's nonsense, but I guarantee you, if we were talking about a cornerback, or defensive end, we'd be having a whole different conversation about, yo, we need to go get him. Everybody wants to play defense for the Baltimore Ravens. Facts, Jose. Name one cornerback that wants to play here.
Yeah, name one edge rusher.
Right. Because it damn sure ain't Kyle Van Noy and it ain't Jadeveon Clowney. Because if that's the case, they'd have been signed with us. I'm just saying. All right, last topic, because we're here longer than I expected. I'm not feeling well. I got to go lay down and watch NCAA tournament for the rest of it. Last topic, we're going to take a look at preview into the 2024 schedule, which may be tough sledding for the Ravens. And I think the reason that we talk about all the moves that we want the Ravens or we would like the Ravens to make is because we're playing a first place schedule. So that means we're playing division winners from other divisions. We have a tougher schedule and tougher defenses. So we're just going to take a look at a couple of the teams that the Baltimore Ravens will be playing in the upcoming season. Rodney, give me your thoughts after I do it. I'm not naming all the teams. I'm just going to name some of the ones that I think are a little bit better than most. We have the Kansas City Chiefs on our schedule. Hollywood Brown comes home. We got the Houston Texans, who seems to be redoing their whole roster, even though year one with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud was a huge success. We get a long time coming rematch with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen to see who is the best quarterback out of that 2018 draft class. And we get former almost league MVP Jalen Hurts in the Philadelphia Eagles. The fraud, as Brody likes to call him, coming to play Baltimore. And then, this one, I need to see this matchup. Dakota, Rain, Prescott, and the Dallas Cowboys play the Baltimore Ravens. And also, we take on the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, I don't think the Chargers really made their teams better by shipping off Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Austin Eckler. But it is a matchup of the Harbaugh brothers. And I do think that Jim Harbaugh is a better coach. Hmm. And I'm just wanting to see what happens between these two brothers and Justin Herbert, since Justin Herbert is supposed to be the prototypical quarterback and supposed to make everybody around him better and is what the league really wants. So these are some games that the Ravens could possibly lose, especially if the offensive line and the offense is not up to par. So, Bronny, what do you think about the schedule coming up as far as these teams go?
I mean, those are obviously some very tough teams, but, you know, they had a very tough schedule this year already, right? And they played great against the best teams on their schedule. Now, I don't think that this 2024 team is going to be as good as the 2023 team. So I think that they're going to struggle a bit. As of right now, I'm guessing maybe 10 wins. I want to address what Robert is saying here as well. Tanja says every team can seem to find the cap space. We thought the Ravens didn't have any more money last season, but they paid Roquan. Yeah, exactly.
How about that?
Robert says Lamar is eating up the money. Lamar is not the only quarterback who's been paid. other teams still manage to put players around their quarterback despite paying them. But the question that I have for you, Robert, is what the fuck were y'all doing these first 5 years?
How about that?
When he wasn't eating up any money.
When he was on his rookie deal. What is the excuse for that part? Let us know. I can't speak for everybody, but we've said this so many years. We said, hey, look at other teams. Look at how other franchises move and the things that they do. You talk about Lamar's taking up all the cap money. I go back to the former world champion Los Angeles Rams. They paid Matthew Stafford. They paid Jalen Ramsey. They paid Cooper Kupp. They paid Aaron Donald. They paid Leonard Floyd. They paid a bunch of people on this team and went out and won a Super Bowl. Why is it when it comes to us, it's always this one guy's doing too much and this is why we can't do this? No, it's because the front office doesn't want to do it. They don't want to pay offensive players. John Harbaugh said it. Yo, I don't want wide receivers that are concerned with their stats or concerned with what they're doing throughout the game. I don't want them to come to Baltimore. And those are the wide receivers that win you games. Those are the wide receivers demanding the ball. Like, yo, when it's crunch time, when we're in the playoffs down by 3 points to the Kansas City Chiefs, get me the ball. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys that you want. But John Harbaugh does not want those guys. And the Ravens have to find excuses of, man, we can't afford to get it. A couple years ago, man, let's go out here and get Lamar some trade for a wide receiver. Guys, we don't have the money for the offense. But as soon as they thought Xavier Howard came available with his $15 million salary, everybody in the flock was like, go get him. We need another corner. We'll find the money for that $15 million. And it's just that how people seem to shift defensively. We can always find a dollar for a $70 million safety, $100 million inside linebacker. Like, we can always find the money for that, a $98 million defensive tackle. But when we say go ahead and get you a $25 million wide receiver, it's like, oh, God. why would you want to play in modern NFL? What is wrong with you, Hendo? We play defense and we run the ball and we get close to the Super Bowl. This is what we do here. Because we said, go get Tyreek Hill. And y'all said, ain't no way I'm paying $30 million for a wide receiver. And look how he's made Tua look. Because Tua is not good at all. I don't care what you say. Tua is a decent quarterback. Tua is not good at all. And Tyreek Hill makes him look like an all pro. What do you think he would do here? What do you think right now would be happening if we had Lamar, Derrick Henry, and Tyreek Hill? We can't pay everybody, but it's amazing that other teams can.
Who do you pay? Who is it on the offensive side of the ball that you pay? Because, you know, I asked Robert, I didn't see if he actually responded. But, you know, the cap hits for Lamar Jackson for the start of his career from 2018, 1.7, 2019, 2.1, 2020, 2.5, 2021, 3 million, and then 2022, 23 million. All of those are low cap hits, even the 23 million, right? And in his first five seasons, 1 year he had a receiver go over 1,000 yards. And it was Mark Andrews, right? The other four, John Brown, 715, Mark Andrews, 852, Hollywood Brown, 760, and Mark Andrews, 847. What were you doing when he was on his rookie deal? Don't sit here and blame money now.
Right.
You wasn't spending money when you had it.
Right. And D-Bank says, Joe Burrow took his team to the Super Bowl with a lesser talented team. But let me ask you this question, D-Banks. Was that lesser talent on the offensive side or the defensive side?
Right, because what y'all don't understand is defense doesn't win championships. I mean, maybe you could argue at one point it did. But that ain't the league you play in now.
Facts.
Defense does not win you titles now. You have to be able to score.
Because Cincinnati had nobody on the defensive side. But you had three wide receivers that could get open and get it done and a running back that made plays. So offensively, they did not have lesser talent and went to a Super Bowl. Whereas the Baltimore Ravens now have a lot
more talent on offense.
A lot more talent. Whereas the Baltimore Ravens consistently invest in defense and we don't get to the Super Bowl. So I don't understand what your point is, D-Bags, because you made my point for me. Mama say, mama say, mama kusa.
Robert, this is a bunch of bullshit that doesn't answer what I asked you. None of this has anything to do with what I asked you. So what are you talking about? What is saying here? He says, on both sides, their O-line was terrible. Yeah, their O-line was terrible, and they had Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, and Joe Mixon, and a pretty good tight end.
T.J. Uzama.
So, again, stop ignoring. Like, I don't get why Ravens fans don't understand that wide receivers affect the game.
Right. Right. Their offense was better. And we can honestly say that offensively talented team beat Patrick Mahomes twice in Kansas City without a defense because they outscored them. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand what we're not getting here. You know, everybody has their opinion, but facts are facts. Offensive teams with bad defenses make it. Defensive teams we've seen throughout the last three playoffs, the three top three defenses in the NFL outside of Kansas City last year got smoked. Buffalo had the number one defense, 47 points put on them. New England had the number two defense, 42 points put on them. Like, defense doesn't mean anything if you can't score the ball. So we're not, you missing the whole point of the conversation. D-Banks, you just arguing to argue. We're not saying he had nothing, but tell me what he had, though, offensively. Tell me what he had. He had a rookie wide receiver. He had a wide receiver coming off of an ACL injury that didn't play the year prior. What else did he have? Hold on. I'll wait. Time's up. What did he have? You tell me what he had.
And Robert saying
top 10 Gus Bus.
Robert says we didn't throw the ball until last year with Roman. It was run first. You're still run first without Greg Roman. The 49ers threw the ball less than Baltimore did in 2023. Do they not have talent on offense, Robert? They don't have Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey. Stop making excuses.
And 15.
Tell me why you ain't got shit on offense. That's all I'm asking you. Stop making excuses about other people and tell me why you don't have talent on that side of the ball.
Right, because you said that Lamar's taking up a large chunk of the cap. When he was on his rookie deal, like Purdy is right now in San Francisco, where they're surrounding him with talent. They went out and traded for Trent Williams. Don't forget that. They gave him an offensive lineman that he needed, that left tackle. They went out and traded for Christian McCaffrey. They got Deebo Samuels, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. Like, they put a team around him while on his rookie deal. The Ravens did not put stuff around Lamar on his rookie deal. They put stuff on the defense. And what we're saying is that formula didn't work in 2019. We tried it again in 20, 21, 22, 23. It didn't work. All we're asking for is at least try something a little bit different. If what you're doing is not working, pivot. Say, you know what? Us holding teams to 14 points a game ain't working. That's not working. Let's try a different approach. Let's try to score 40. Let's do that and see what happens. Why does it hurt to switch? We can't be the 2000 Ravens forever. We can't play great defense and run the ball and win a Super Bowl. It can't be like that forever. One year, you're going to have to invest in a highly touted wide receiver. You're just going to have to do it. Zay Flowers, I love him. But do we know if Zay Flowers is going to be that dude? Or is he just going to be really good? And it wouldn't hurt to get somebody beside him to help him become a better wide receiver so he doesn't have to take double teams. What does that really – I'm not understanding. What does that hurt, though? Yeah, Xavier. What were they doing? What were they doing for 5 years other than acquiring more defensive players and then getting the playoffs and do nothing? And then everybody says, man, Lamar ain't got it. Lamar ain't him. I know he was throwing to my cousin, but he should have made the play. And listen, you said the offensive line was ranked fifth by who? Please say PFF.
Please say PFF. Look, you can talk about what they're ranked all day long. Tell me what you saw with your eyes when you watched the game. Because I saw Lamar running for his life quite a bit. And you having a mobile quarterback doesn't make your O-line better. It just means that he's able to avoid pressure and avoid sacks more than other quarterbacks are able to.
Right. What's up, Jared? So that means that it makes your offensive line look a little bit better than it is. Because a lot of us said back in the day, Lamar made Ronnie Stanley a Pro Bowl. I mean, made him an All-Pro. I'm not saying Ronnie Stanley wasn't good, but Lamar made him, to me, look better than what he was, which he's done for this offensive line his entire career. So for you to say this is a top five offensive line, did it matter during the playoffs? Did that matter during the playoffs? I don't know. All right, we got another tip. It says, Hendon Bradley, great stream. Why did YouTube take the emoji out of the chat? Just curious. They took the emoji out?
I do not know.
I don't know. I didn't know you could do that. YouTube does a lot of crazy stuff. I don't know. I mean, listen, you're saying the Ravens should mainly draft offense in the draft and one or two picks on the edge, rusher and a cornerback. Listen, you can get what you want in the draft if you go out here and sign these players. Or if you go out and make a trade for somebody that can actually play, you can go do luxury in the draft. I just want players that can play. I want an offensive line that's going to protect Lamar. We've seen him get hurt. And people are saying, oh, he got hurt in the pocket. Yeah, he got hurt in the pocket, but people don't realize it is a culmination of him getting hit all season long. Mm-hmm. Your body just doesn't just give out on you just to give out on you. It gives out on you from fatigue and taking hits. That's why when you look at Lamar today, a lot of people say, man, Lamar looks a little bit slower than he used to. It comes from taking hits, from him not being protected. I'm done with my brain. It took a little bit. Damn, we somehow made it to an hour, bro. I was not trying to make it to an hour, but, you know, this is a good conversation. You know what I'm saying?
And the other part of the O-line thing is, okay, they're a top five O-line, right?
Just going to wrap it.
Say that. Say they're a top five O-line.
Uh-huh. Right.
Why are you not blaming Eric DaCosta for letting three of your starters walk? Oh, actually, I'm sorry, two of them walk and then trading another one who had no idea he was leaving.
Right. That is a good question. If they were so good, how do we just let them all out the building to come up with a guy that has never suited up in an NFL uniform? That's not a real uniform they put on when they take that picture. They just take the thing, the overlay, and put it over top of you and make it purple. He's never worn a Ravens uniform. But we expect him to come in and be a starting guard in the NFL. Never been acclimated to the speed of the game, having the knowledge, just having the reps to get used to it. We expect Voorhees to come in here and be this monster. Once again, I'm not saying that that's not going to happen, but we just don't know. And we ask you as Ravens fans, when are you going to get tired of the "I just don't know"? Maybe he could. It looks like he's going on that trajectory. We don't know. How many years of Lamar do you think that we have left? Quite honestly. How many more years do we have left? We already played the, hey, let's go into a season with these wide receivers and see if they can cook. And they couldn't. They couldn't even turn on the crock pot. We played that card and we've let those years go by. Now we're here another year talking about let's play with the offensive line. And to me, that's worse than playing with wide receivers because you can get this man hurt.
Yeah. But again, on the topic of the O-line, because he's really leaning into the O-line thing because, you know, he can find stats and say they were great. They were one of the best. So, you know, let's blame Lamar. But you were just talking about Joe Burrow, who got to the Super Bowl without the O-line. So let me ask you, which do you think is more important? Actually having someone to throw the ball to or having a, quote, top five O-line, right? Why don't you try, since you've already destroyed the O-line this season, I mean, fuck it, whatever. Why don't you try going the receiver route like Cincinnati did and see what happens? Why don't you get an all-world receiver for Lamar to throw the ball to pair with Zay? You know, go on, you know, I mean, if Mark Andrews is there, whatever, we'll see if he bounces back. But, you know, make sure that you have top-tier talent all around him since you've already screwed up the O-line and see where that takes you. You've done the defense thing. According to you, you've done the O-line thing. Why can't you do the receiver thing?
Right. All right. And, of course, we're going to hear, but they got him Derrick Henry. And I don't think that Derrick Henry is going to have a bad year. I just think that long term, we don't know what we're going to get with him in 2025. Now, he may come in and get another 1,000-yard season, but we don't know what a 31-year-old Derrick Henry is going to do. That's why I think a lot of us wanted to go a little bit younger and then put somebody on the outside. So guess what? We didn't have to overutilize Derrick Henry or Lamar in the run game. This is a passing league. This is a passing league, and we still want to run our quarterback and tell him in the playoffs, you need to run. Lamar should have ran that. Go out there and get hurt.
I hate the way Ravens fans argue this shit because you want to talk, because we're talking about, oh, they had a top run game when Lamar was your leading goddamn rusher for 5 years straight. Like, these people like Banks and Robert, they're so disingenuous when they talk about this stuff. It is infuriating.
Look, J-Mill. Andrews does get love. He did what he needed to do in early Lamar years. Andrews is just not the same person. I think injuries have sapped him. And to be quite honest, Mark Andrews should not be your leading receiver. He shouldn't be. You need to get him some young studs and somebody that can play. And Mark Andrews, to me, should be a complimentary piece. He should be that third guy, that security blanket. He should not be Lamar's primary target. Listen, Xavier, then nobody, and the thing to me is it's not even about being right or wrong. It's about the frustration that's mounting that we want to change. Like Rodney said, we've done the defense thing for so long and it's not gotten us where we needed to go. So why not give something different a try? Now, through the own words of the head coach, what did he say? We're going to build an operation around Lamar that he deserves. We're going to build around him. My thing is, how are you going to build around somebody? And I'm not saying that you have to go all out in free agency and spend all of your money, but how are you building around Lamar when you're waiting for people to get cut and you're trying to do the bare minimum? The same thing that you've been doing since 2019, bringing the bare minimum around Lamar, but expecting peak performance out of your quarterback with wide receivers that nobody else wants. Like, I'm not understanding it. How's that building an operation? It's just a whole bunch of lip service that's given so that the fan base can say, look, they said they're doing everything with Lamar. Listen, we've gone out and got him wide receivers, and we've done this, and we've done it. Have you really? I'll admit you tried to draft guys, but when it comes a time that I find out there's something that I'm not good at my job, I come and get help. Like, I'm not sure.
He said he's not disingenuous. He loves his show. Some people just can't keep it real like me, though. Keeping it real like Lamar without his legs isn't Burrow without his legs, though. But if you look at their numbers, they're very similar. Now, Burrow has a higher completion percentage, 65 to 64.5. Right. And then you got Burrow, 97 touchdowns to 37 interceptions. Lamar, 125 to 45. The NEA, ANY/A, 6.8 for Lamar, 6.5 for Burrow. Burrow's QB rating, 98.6. Lamar's 98. Like, they're pretty similar. And Joe Burrow has
much more talent,
better receivers around him. Now, you know, I don't understand what you mean keeping it real when what you're actually doing is just hating on Lamar Jackson for no reason. But Lamar is a top passer in the league. You don't want to think that, but it's fine because everybody else can see it. That's why he's won two MVPs, because he is that guy. And he's doing it with less talent than every other top quarterback in the league. Not just Joe Burrow. All of them have more talent around them than Lamar Jackson does.
And they continue to add more. Caleb Williams hasn't even made it to the NFL, and they are adding talent on Chicago to make sure that he has enough around him to succeed. But shout out to Don C with the $4.20 donation. He said, how is your son's YouTube channel doing? It's doing okay. His PlayStation broke, so he's been not streaming as much. And he says, I haven't been on working like crazy. Great stream, guys. Appreciate you, Don C, whenever you do come through. Greatly appreciate it.
That's about it. Yeah.
That's about it. But C-Mac says, is Humphrey and Williams even worth now what they're getting paid?
You mean Humphrey?
Yes.
No. I wouldn't say so. Humphrey's been a bit up and down. Still, he's a good player.
He's not worth $100 million.
But, you know, I thought they should have released him and opened up that $11 million in cap room. But, you know, it is what it is. He's a good player. He's an important player for Baltimore. So,
and Marcus Williams is the signing that I actually like, but $70 million to a safety, and then he came and just he can't stay healthy. So, I don't know. But listen, it's been 1 hour and 8 minutes. I had not planned on being here this long, and I do appreciate you. We still got 141 people in here. Amazing.
Oh, okay. You just want to argue, to be honest. So you're are you being disingenuous or are you not? Answer that for me real quick.
Yikes.
Ridiculous.
Wowzers. All right, it's time to go. It's time to watch some college basketball and me to take a nap because I'm exhausted. But appreciate you all, 141 people still in here. Appreciate you for helping me get to 3,900 subscribers. We hit that mark. We got less than 100 to go to hit 4,000. Appreciate it. B, you want to tell the people where they can find you for the rest of the week? Because I do think you'll be streaming at least 5 more times in this upcoming week.
Just hopefully sitting in my comfortable chair, sleeping or watching TV or whatever. But I guess maybe on Wednesday over on Lunch Break Hot Take, we do the LBHT show Wednesday evening at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time, followed up by the overtime show for patrons. You can find me tomorrow night, 9 p.m.
It's back.
We're on Sips Italian Films for the Ravens Roundup with Hendo, my brother Jose, with OTR Mike, with Chris Just Joking, and of course with Coach Evans. You can find us on Tuesday, 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time, on Suge Knight 323 for the Steel Conspiracy, which is a show about the Steelers and the Ravens. Once again, don't know why I'm there. And then, you know, you can find me over on Ring Kings sometimes when stuff's going on, when there's stuff happening, which is just the best boxing podcast on YouTube.
Facts. I learned a lot from that channel. I love that channel. We need some more content from them. But also, you can find me, like you said, coming up tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Sip to Tell with Coach Evans, Chris Is Joking, OTR Mike, Lunch Break Hot Take, talking some Ravens talk. Then you can find me on Tuesday evenings before Suge Knight 323 with my man, Mr. Galloway, on Electric Relaxation with Mr. Galloway, talking all things hip hop, especially old school. But I got some new ideas for some more recent events. But if you're old like me, if you're in your late 30s and you want to talk some hip hop, then let's do it. Also, make sure you like and subscribe before we get out of here. And also, if you want to be a part of this community, because we have a lot going on, April 6th, we are taking our patrons to take a tour of M&T Bank Stadium. It is unfortunately closed, but if the turnout goes well and everything's fine, we may do this again. And if you want to become a patron, make sure you go over to patreon.com/ROUG, get into the Discord, hang out with us. We're talking 24/7, having fun, building a community. You can also request certain videos. You can sometimes, depending on what it is, come on stream. You get to participate and hang with Hendo. Like, it's That's a lot right. of stuff. You get to win you some rings like this. Or if you go to LBHTs, you get to win you trophies like this. But I win everything, so.
And listen, if you are interested in going on the stadium tour and you missed that deadline, I am more than willing to give up my spot. You let us know.
No. Yolanda, patron requested streams are only for new patrons. It's not for old patrons.
Calm down. And you don't do requested streams. Anyway, take that wrench away from Yolanda. Ridiculous. Yolanda looked us in our eyes and straight up lied about going live the other day.
She did lie to us. Yeah, she did lie to us. She's like, let me get out of here to set this stream up. And we waited and we waited and we waited.
I was up until 3:45, Yolanda.
Thanks.
I was like, she said she's going to be streaming.
And then the next day she was like, ha-ha. Like she's an evil villain or something. I'm like, what? Yeah. She's like, you thought I was actually going to stream? Ha-ha. I was like, oh, so you just want to hurt our feelings. Okay. How do we know you weren't going to stream when you said, let me go, I got to go set up this stream right now? How do we know that you weren't going to do it? How do we know you were intentionally lying to us? I take people
at their word.
Thanks. Especially good Christian people that always tell the truth.
Our friend Suge taught us that.
Facts. Who's this tomorrow? What's tomorrow, Tanja?
Tomorrow's 7:45.
I don't even know. Is that a stream? Somebody goes on at 7:45?
She said it with a huge grin. You just like to smile, Yolanda.
Facts. You always showing your teeth. Oh, man. Apparently, it's getting heated in the chat. It's football. Calm down. Like, we just giving opinions. Calm down. It's not that deep. Listen, we're going to go into next season, do the same thing we always do, and come back here next season and have the same conversations. It's not that heavy. But we out of here. Make sure y'all have a good night. Make sure y'all come back next week. Appreciate the growth of this channel. Appreciate the growth of LBHT. Also, make sure Coach Evans, Sip the Tail, we're trying to get him to 10,000 subscribers. And I think he is a cool 500 and something subscribers away, if I'm not mistaken. So make sure y'all go over there, support this community, because the Ravens community, they're very selective with who they support. Very, very selective. We're all trying to grow, even though we all may have different points of views, different takes. It's still Ravens content. So make sure you go support a Ravens content creator today. Doesn't have to be me, somebody else.
But it should be.
I mean, I would like it to be, but I'm not the best. So,
The numbers say otherwise.
The numbers don't say, subscribers don't mean you're popular.
I didn't say subscribers, did I?
Yeah, what, man, numbers? Like, what numbers? Because you always tell me.
Who else had over a million views on a video?
A lot of people.
Riddle me that, Batman. No, in the Ravens YouTube community. Who else?
It didn't have anything to do with the Ravens, though.
I didn't say it had anything to do with the Ravens, Hendo. I said who else in the Ravens YouTube community had a million views on a video. That's what I said. Why don't people listen to the things that I say and then respond to the things that I say?
I'll show it to you. It's this one dude. I don't know his name, but for the flock.
He does for the flock.
Ravens for the flock or something like that from the flock. Okay. He's got a couple million view videos.
Okay, good for him. Okay. Shout out to For the Flock. So I guess you're number two.
F- false. Number 20.
Oh, okay. Well, who else then? You got any more fictional YouTubers you want to throw out there?
It's a real. I'm gonna show you when we get on the stream, just so you can apologize.
I'm not gonna apologize.
Oh man, Jared Green about to go live. Make sure, listen. Make sure you go over there and check out my man Jared Green. He does some great content. They do some Southern football. They talk a lot about life in general, but Southern sports ballers. Make sure y'all go check them out. Dope conversations. And just support people. Like, it doesn't hurt to like, subscribe, and just check somebody out for a couple minutes. Decide if you like it, if you don't. I get it. But don't just look at somebody and be like this. Oh, well, I like that guy, so I'm not going to support that guy. Hey, we all have something different to offer. You know what I mean? And it's all entertainment. There ain't nothing on right now. You ain't doing nothing. Except for I'm going to take a nap to it. We out, y'all. Appreciate y'all.
Thank you, Jared, in the chat. So make sure you go over there and check out the live. Hit subscribe. Hit the like button. And like Handel said, support.
Right, because listen, I've said this so many times before. YouTube is the one platform and the one place everybody can win. Like, it doesn't have to be, I'm on top and I want to see everybody down there. Everybody can win on YouTube. You can start a channel tomorrow and you can win on YouTube. Like, this, it's not a competition. You know, for me, it's not a competition. I want everybody to win. I don't care who you are. I go to Raven's YouTubers that have 5 subscribers and I like and comment and share their stuff because I want to see everybody win. Everybody.
I want to see everybody win too, except for the one channel. I'm not going to say their name, but they had like 8 subs and half of them were me and Jose using all our accounts and we unsub.
Yo, him. Guy. I was the other 4. Yeah, that guy. Except I want everybody to win. I agree, buddy. Everybody except win, but him. Guy. Except for that guy, because he has some problems. But yeah, I was mad, bro. But yes, listen, support people. And to be seriously, support everybody you can, because like we all can win at this. You know what I mean? Like I want to be a full-time content creator. You know, I'm trying to dabble in a lot of things.
I want to be independently wealthy and just do this when I feel like it. So I mean, I really need y'all.
What? All right, we're leaving now. All right. What's up? Hey, like I said, my man, Mr. Galloway, check us out Tuesday evenings, 8 p.m., streaming live, talking all that good talk. Hopefully you had a good day today, Dre. Everything got accomplished you needed to get accomplished. And spoiler alert, we got some real raw content coming for you on electric relaxation. Some real Baltimore stuff for you.
Oh, no.
Coming up. Nah, not like that. It's good stuff. It's good things. Good things. Okay. All good things. All good things. Nah, not like that. Right. Because okay. Most people think of Baltimore, they think I hope so, Danity. Because listen, there have been times where I've been up and down. My attitude has been up and down with this, where it's just times I'm just so dedicated to getting things done. And then like earlier today, it's like, yo, what's the point? You know what I'm saying? You entertain some people insult you, and then the cycle just repeats itself. You know what I mean? So, but you know, I stay vigilant, I stay strong, and I'm gonna keep giving y'all the content as long as y'all keep wanting it. Put it like that. And Brittany's gonna be here by my side all the time, every day.
Yolanda, I'm gonna send you the link every week.
And so what? Then it'll be 3 of us. We'll be the 3 amigos. Hey, yay, yay, yay. You know how that went? Is that how that went? Okay. All right, we out of here for real. Now I'm starting to ramble on. You never saw that movie, though?
Yeah, the movie. No. Just hit end.
Just hit end. I'm sorry, y'all. I was enjoying the conversation. Apparently, these people enjoying the conversation as well. It's still 100 people in here sticking around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not used to this. I'm used to having 60 people in here. And by the time we get to like the 20-minute mark, we down to 14.
Let me ask you, man, though. Honestly, this is for real. For real. What's up, the difference between 10 and 100 watching you live?
What's the difference? 90.
There ain't nothing. People. There ain't no difference. Because most of the people who are watching aren't commenting, so it's like talking to 10 people anyway.
What's up, Cyanatic? I mean, but it just feels good to know that a product that you're making, mm-hmm. people are actually into it. And they're actually sticking around to be into it.
Now, yeah, no, I'm just talking about it in terms of you saying you're not used to it. You're used to
I'm
it.
I'm not used to it.
You've been doing this the entire time. Ain't no difference streaming to 10 or 100.
It's not. The difference is not. But it's just, it feels good. But I will say this. I did forget something. I'm not even gonna hold you. I forgot. I need to get it together because I need to do another giveaway, maybe. Because I missed the 2-year anniversary of the channel.
It's tough to remember that kind of stuff. It all blends together.
No, it happened, but like I remembered it, but I remembered it like a day later, and then I was like,
that means you didn't remember it, Henda.
No, but I had like it was the day after. I remembered it the day before, but the stream I streamed the day before. Like we streamed on a Sunday, and then I think the anniversary was like on a Monday or so. And I was just like, all right, so I'm not gonna do it tonight. I'm gonna do another stream tomorrow. And then when tomorrow came, I was like, eh. And then weeks went by, months went by, and now I'm like,
it's really necessary. You're trying to do another giveaway. I need a PS5.
Listen, I don't get donations like that, brother.
All
right. Listen, my Patreon game is pretty low. My Patreon game is low. Low. That. And people are leaving.
Oh, about all that.
But it's more than some. So I appreciate whatever I get. But yeah, I don't get PS5 money, bro. When the Patreon gets up, when I get to 50 people, when I get the 50 Patreons, 50 patrons,
there you go.
Then I may give away a PS5.
Wait, don't say it like that. Then I get a PS5 is what you're saying. Like you can dress it up as a giveaway if you feel the need to, but like make sure that ends up over here.
You, sir.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Mine is dumb low too. Oh, what's going on, Chimbu? Appreciate you.
Hello, Chimbu.
Hey, listen, all the oldies but goodies is coming in.
Batman.
We as a community, myself, LBHT, Sip the Tally, Mike, Dre, Ferris, like we're building a community where we give back. Unlike a lot of these channels, we give back.
And I got Shug. See that panther right there?
I was born 1985.
The Panthers making winning moves. Y'all just treading water in Baltimore.
1995 when I was born. The year I was born. 95. But yes, we like to give away.
We need to zoom in on that date because that's a goddamn lie.
It's too late. We love to give back to our community. And this is why we're doing the stadium tour, just so that the patrons, so I can say, Brody and Jose, we all can say thank you for supporting us when you don't have to. Before we got on here, Brody and I were actually talking about, you know, patrons and support. And we just wanted to say we appreciate everything. We appreciate you just showing up for us week in and week out because you don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to come and be a part of what we're trying to build. And now also Yolanda's come into the fold where we're trying to build her channel up as well. So, you know, it's a community thing and we're going to do things. And trust me, things are going to get bigger and better. And it's one thing we have in mind. This is going to be a meet and greet that you don't want to miss. But I'm not going to get into it right now. I'm going to let that go.
We're gonna have to get into that off air because I don't know what you're talking about. And it doesn't sound like something I want to do. NDT, if you're in one of the Discords, I'm not sure if you are. If you're in one of the Discords, hit us up. We'll let you know. Otherwise,
I don't think it is.
DM us on Twitter at LBHT Show or Hendo. What's your Twitter?
Everything's a Rogue Pod.
Rogue Pod.
What is he trying to get into the Discord?
One of these plates.
Oh, you want one of those plates? Yeah.
Panthers plates. Right.
Well, Danity, see, you have been gone for a while. Yolanda has two channels.
Two channels. Danny, where have you been at, man?
Where have you been at yet,
Danny? It has been on red alert in the LBHT show chat. We had to ban people you weren't there doing your job.
Okay? I had to come search you on Twitter.
I don't mean it like that. I mean, it's not your job, but you know what I'm saying. We appreciate you, Danity.
We had to come searching for you.
Yeah.
That's why I hit you up on Twitter like, Danity, what's up? And then I'm like, yo, it's been like 4 days. She must really be ignoring us. And she don't love us no more.
Mm-mm.
It's like in Baby Boy. I felt like in Baby Boy. I hit Danity up. I felt like a old girl in Baby Boy when she's sitting in the car. It's like, you don't love me no more. That's how I
feel. I don't know about that. The only scene I know from Baby Boy is where dude comes flying in out of nowhere and gets Tyrese in that chokehold. That's the greatest scene in movie history. I sat there. I was like Scorsese. I said, this is cinema.
Yeah. It is cinema.
He walked up. Tyrese thought he was safe.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't seen Baby Boy. It's worth watching just for that.
Okay. What? Tanja Cole. What you call? What you call? What you call? Tanja? What we doing? What we doing? You told what you co-host? You coming on the show or something? What
you doing? You gonna co-host this show, Tanja?
You coming on here?
You gonna take my spot?
You know, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do need special guest co-hosts because sometimes Brian, he just don't feel like streaming.
You're not too raw to host. You can say whatever you want on here.
False.
Wait, which false. What are you saying, false?
We try to keep it at a certain level, like you know.
All right, you can say like 98% of what you want to say on here, don't you?
This is thanks because Brian just becomes people 11, right?
I haven't cussed anyone out on your show,
bruh. Listen, you've been in the chat. Listen, bro, you've been in the chat for a minute. Like, you know, Brady will start off calm, laughing like this, and then somebody will say something he don't like in the chat, and then he'll be like, "Yo, who the are you talking to?"
Let me tell you this. Anybody out on your show?
Let me tell you this. In the script chatter, this is how the it goes down over here. In the script
chatter. I'm a jovial individual, right?
For the most part. Until you're not.
I always am.
Always up. Do we gotta start that? Do we have to start a YouTube at the dark? YouTube uncut.
Listen, Tanja, we'll start you off on Hang with Hendo.
Yes. Hang with Hendo is a training ground because it's a private stream for the patrons where they can get involved or they pick the topics and it's just us. So if you need practice being on camera in front of people, it's the best thing because it's only like 6 or 7 people to actually participate. So it's not a lot of people around. So you come on there, you know, get your feet wet. Then 1 week, you come on here, me, you, we have a good time, talk about the Ravens. You can let the people know how you really feel. Because sometimes, Tarja, you have opinions that differ from a lot of people. And you can let everybody know exactly how you out here feeling.
I ain't never cussed you out over LeBron, MVT. I just call you stupid.
That's not the same. In some people's language, that is cussing out.
Right? Oh, well, I do apologize, MVT. I didn't mean it like that.
Yeah,
I was joking.
Yeah, but you talk harshly to a lot of people.
You're a very valuable,
especially me. All
right, well, you know, that's a whole different thing. But the people in the chat don't deserve it.
What are you subscribing to, Danity? I'm curious.
The Yolanda's channels. It better be.
It better be. We're gonna have a conversation.
Remember, she got 2 channels.
I don't know. We had Chocolate Lady Cab. She was on there a couple weeks ago. You know, she kind of busted her stream and cherry.
We don't need
maybe the wrong choice of words. She had her streaming debut.
Yes.
And it went very well. And she felt very comfortable because we as a community are a welcoming people.
Mm-hmm. Why are we still here?
I don't know, bro, because there's still 120 people here. I'm amazed. There's still 120 people in here just chilling in here with us.
All right, take it back, NDT.
And I know YouTube is going to try to skew my numbers and not tell me that I had this amount of people like they always do because they don't want to give me my monies. But it's okay.
Reg, what do you mean mostly? I'm always nice to you. Except when you said somebody said Jim Harbaugh can get Justin Herbert up out of there. Man, so they're gonna replace him with Jaden Daniel.
Bradley is mostly nice to people. Mostly.
That's always nice to people.
Mostly. I just know in the Discord, I'll be talking to somebody and like a ninja, a thief in the night, Bradley just swoops in and is just like, Hendo, F you, it's you stupid, Discord. You dummy.
I've never said that.
You never said F me? I have many.
I've never said the other parts. You ask for that first part daily.
I asked for it?
Yes.
I'm having a conversation with another young man.
What Hendo likes to do is he likes to go into the Discord when he thinks I'm not around, and then he likes to go at our guy Jay about the Panthers because Jay's Jay's a pretty laid back dude. He's gotten much more aggressive since hanging out with us. But he likes to try and go at Jay about the Panthers, so I'll pop up in defense, bro. Of my man, Jay.
First of all. I know that you're around because I'm private messaging you, so I know you're in there. First and foremost. Secondly, I don't go with Jay. I'll say something, and then Jay will always have something to say about the Ravens.
Jay will give his honest opinion about what's going on in Baltimore, and then you get all upset.
I don't get upset, but my whole thing is we sit here having a conversation, and they like, yo, I love bagels. No, toasted strudels are the best. Oh, now that you mentioned toasted strudels, EDC is a strudel. And you're like, yo, where did this come from? How did you get
the EDC? And then you start saying stuff, and then I got to be like,
and then I'll say, yo, EDC ain't the best, but damn. Don't act like you got the best, Jim. And then Jay get in his feelings, and then here come Rodney, Super Dave to the rescue.
I can be Super Dave. There's so many
I don't know, bro. I don't know. I'm starting to get tired and silly, and I think I need to go take some medicine. I'm really getting tired.
This is not relatable content. We gotta
this
go.
Is not like this has nothing to do with the Ravens, and we have not been talking about the Ravens for at least 40 minutes now,
right?
But I do appreciate y'all once again, and we're really getting out of here this time. Make sure to come back next week, and until then, we's out. Wait,